In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading may be one that you were familiar with, the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. But like so many biblical stories, there are nuances and more facets to the narrative that may not be so well known. Often these details, and looking at the story in its larger context, add deeper meaning to the passage. Sometimes they show us things that we may not have known were there. With that in mind, let's take a close look at the story of Ruth and Naomi. A famine forced a woman named Naomi, her husband, and her sons to leave Judah and move to Moab. Like Abraham and Noah in the Old Testament and the Holy Family in the New Testament, God's people, it seems, are always on the move. It's said that the only constant in life is change. God is always taking us somewhere. When situations are bad, God gives us new options, sometimes a change of scenery, what some people have called a geographic cure. At first, Naomi's relocation to Moab looked to be turning out to be a good thing. Her sons married. They weren't Jewish girls, as she has probably hoped, but they were happy. Then things went from bad to worse. Naomi's husband died, as did her two sons. Tragedy can and does strike everyone, even the nicest people, even good, God-fearing people. It's just the way life is. Being a Christian is no talisman against disaster. Losing a husband and sons would be tragic enough for anyone at any time. But what was especially so for Naomi and her bereaved daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. At that time and place, women had no economic opportunities. All they could pretty much do was be wives and mothers. If they didn't have a family to provide for them, they were likely destitute. Abject poverty was what Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah were looking at. Naomi hears that the famine is over in Judah, so she plans to go back home where there are some relatives who might take pity on her. It's said that home is the place that has to take you in when you have nowhere else to go. But what about Orpah and Ruth? The law said that if a Jew died, his brother had to marry the widow to keep the family line going and keep the property in the family. Naomi, though, had no other sons, and as she pointed out, even if she could conceive and bear sons, Ruth and Orpah would not want to wait until they were old enough to marry them. So Naomi tells Ruth and Orpah to go back to their own families in Moab, who should provide for them. Maybe there they could remarry and close one chapter in their lives and start another better one. That makes sense to Orpah. She'll take that deal. And who could blame her? Moving to Judah with no resources and knowing no one but her mother-in-law, to be a despised, impoverished foreigner there, that looked like too big a risk for her. Orpah went back home. Now, if I may digress a minute, you may have noticed that Orpah is spelled a lot like Oprah, as in Oprah Winfrey. Orpah is actually the name on Oprah Winfrey's birth certificate. She says people mispronounced her name so often, she just changed it to Oprah. The biblical Orpah chose not to stay with Naomi, but Ruth did. She stepped out in faith. She took a big leap of faith. She not only clung to Naomi, she clung to Naomi's God, our God. Could it be that Naomi was such a person of faith, such a person whose faith was so active in love, that Ruth came to know God through Naomi. The words Ruth spoke to Naomi, so often read at weddings, are some of the most beautiful in the Bible. Hear them again. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my guide. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. That's where today's first lesson more or less ends. And for many people, they think that's where more or less the story ends. But actually, that is only half of the story. Naomi and Ruth go to Bethlehem. I think Bethlehem might come up again somewhere later in the Bible. When Naomi's friends greet her, she tells them that she has changed her name. She doesn't want to be called Naomi anymore because Naomi means pleasant. She wants to be called Mara from now on because Mara means bitter. Mara could also be pronounced like Mary. Seems like another Mary, who also lost her son, will come up a little bit later in the Bible too. But why should Mary, the mother of our Lord, be bitter? What could be better than being the mother of Jesus? Well, watching her son crucified was no Sunday walk in the garden. Simeon was right when he said that a sword would pass Mary's heart. Wealth was not waiting for Mara and Ruth in Judah, but there was a system in place for providing for the poor and refugees. God had made a law that would take care of them, that was both charitable, but also took some effort on their part. When the farmers would harvest their fields, they were not allowed to go back and pick up anything that they had missed or left behind. The poor and refugees were allowed to take that for their sustenance. It was called gleaning. Mara wisely sent Ruth to glean from the fields of her kinsman, a man named Boaz. Boaz took notice of the beautiful young widow Ruth. First, he orders his workers not to molest her. That sounds awful to us that such an order would even need to be given. But again, that is the reality of the world we live in. Millennia before the Me Too movement, such protections were necessary then, even as they are now. Next, Boaz ordered his men to purposely leave behind extra grain for Ruth to glean. Finally, Boaz let her work with his women and invited her to eat with him. Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, and apparently Ruth loved Boaz as well, but getting to marriage would take some work. We mentioned earlier how a brother had an obligation to marry his deceased brother's widow, and we talked about how in Jewish law, property was passed between family members. In that complex system, in this case, another family member had the right to marry Ruth if he chose to do so and receive whatever property might come with her. Boaz shrewdly was able to make a deal such that he could marry Ruth, and he and Ruth and Naomi lived happily ever after. But that's not the end of the story either. Obviously, there are many lessons that can be drawn out of this narrative. Naomi and Ruth, against all odds and through many hardships, remain faithful, and their faithfulness is rewarded. Boaz both respected the law and was charitable, and he is rewarded. We see God moving and guiding his people in unexpected ways, and he works all things out for their good. We trust that he will do that for us too. But there's even more to the story than that. Everything in the Bible, even the Old Testament, always points to Jesus Christ. We already pointed out the connections of this story to the name Mary and to the city of Bethlehem. If you would read Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, you know that long list of names that's so difficult to pronounce that everybody just skips over. You would see that Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse's son was King David. 14 generations later, Jesus was born in that very same family line of David, Ruth, and Boaz. In the 28 generations that Matthew records, only four women are mentioned: Ruth and three others. The three others, Tamar, Rahab, and Bathsheba, all, how shall we say, had questionable pasts. The issue people had with Ruth was that she was from Moab and not born a Jew. The point, the bigger point, is that God used unlikely people, even some disreputable people, to bring his son into the world. God chose Ruth and unlikely people like Ruth, and because of her, Jesus was able to choose to save unlikely, disreputable people like you and me. We thank God for that. There was a meme that I saw recently that I really liked. It was a riddle. It asked, what kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? And the answer, he was ruthless. The world is ruthless. It's mean. It's cruel. There's famine. There's abuse. There's untimely death. Our only hope for peace, for justice, for reconciliation with God and with one another is in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the Son of Ruth, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen.